कर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे गोपी जन बलाबा जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे जयो राधा माधवा जयो कुंज बिहारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जयशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जयशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जयशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना रावण चारी जमुना रावण चारी जयो राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pribrajakacharya Shtatarasata Shri Shrimadas Devangreshla A.C. Bhaktivaranta Swayam Haraj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shamakunda Radha Kudigiri Gavardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Tamaki, Shri Mayapur Tamaki, Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apratham Nas Tvaya Kim Nu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yan Nantara Hridayam Vishya Tamo Hamsi Svarochisha Apraptam Nastvaya Kim Nu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yannon Tarhridayam Vishya Tamohamsi Swarochisha Apraptam Nastvaya Kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yannon Tarhridayam Vishya Tamo Hamsi Svarochisha.
Bhagavan
apraptam, not given, na, unto us, toya, by your lordship, kim, what, nu, indeed, bhagavan, O Supreme Lord, bhuvana ishvara, O Master of the whole universe, yat, because, na, our, anta hridayam, within the core of the heart, vishya, entering, tama, the darkness of ignorance, hamsi, you annihilate, sva rochisha, by your own effulgence. Translation. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, O my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction. Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Nrsingadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vanik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matas mritir jnanam apohanam cha. And because the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadeva. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadeva wanted only 3 paces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a brahmana or a vaishnava. We have the impression that facilities will make us happy. Because then with facilities, you can do things, those will give results. So we think that that whole process is actually what generates happiness. We see the devotees, they perform activities, they get results. Those are all offered to Krishna. So mistake can be made. It's because of the endeavor made, the results gained. And therefore, that offering itself, the physical offering, that's what's making the Lord happy. And because we work with the external, you know, with the energy, and we can manipulate it and perform activities that give us results, therefore, we can do this for ourselves. So as long as we think that the things themselves, the experiences themselves, the situations themselves, those interacting with the mind and the senses, that will cause happiness, then we'll always be within mundane consciousness. Spiritual means it's not the activity. It's not the result gained from the activity. It's not the experience gained from that result of that activity. It's actually the devotion that's exchanged between the Lord and the devotee. That gives the taste. Right? Because Krishna is Ananda, of course, everything coming from Him, expanding from Him, will have some aspect of Ananda to it. Right? So therefore, you have some knowledge, you have a situation, there's some happiness there. You manipulate those by activities. There'll be some taste there. You get a result, there'll be some taste there. And that experience of all that will give some taste. Yes, no one's saying it's not. But that taste will never satisfy the soul. That's the whole point. It can't. Because the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, can only be satisfied in connection when Krishna is satisfied. And because all those things are Krishna and his energies, he is not going to be satisfied by them. Right? It's the devotion. Because Krishna being everything, what's outside of that? Right? Is simply the expression of that devotion. It's the relationship. Because otherwise, he is everything. And everything's in him. So, it's not the offering. It's the devotion in which we have collected ingredients, we've made an endeavor to get a result, to offer to him. That devotion is what's impressive. So that's what the brahmanas then there, that means we see here, as then Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport, based on the activity of the brahmins, that the idea that the material facilities will give us happiness, that's not there in the mind of the pure devotee. Right? So, they know it's because of Krishna. So what is service to Krishna? What opportunities or facilities for service to Krishna? That is then of what is interest. So the volume of facility is not actually the real thing. It's connection to Krishna. The volume of knowledge or volume of wealth, volume of position or influence, these don't actually have any relevance to pure devotion. It's they're being used in the Lord's service, not the potential to be engaged. Because we can say anything can be engaged. It's the actual ability to engage and do that to please Krishna that actually becomes devotion. Otherwise, due to greed, yes, we want unlimited facility. But neither can we engage those facilities, nor can we do that in devotion. So the pure devotees only keep how much is necessary. They don't keep more. So someone in their position, they'll be using more. Someone in another position will be less. And they don't have any problem. Right? Does that make sense? These great kings that have the emperorship of the whole world, they don't have a problem with associating with these sadhus or these munis, rishis, these brahmins that have nothing. Right? You do see it come up sometime between, let's say, Drupad and Dronacharya. And how did that work out for everybody? Right? Both of them were dead. Like doornail kind of dead? Yeah, that kind of dead. They're both gone. Simply because of this pride of their facility or wanting to gain facility for prestige. That's the thing to learn. Is you can do it, yes, but it has never worked out for anybody. Right? Caesar, for prestige, dead. All his senators, for prestige, killed him. They were all dead. It just one after another, all dead. Every last one of them. That's the whole point, is that it's the material nature is not going to let it go. Because Krishna is not proud of his being God. So anybody's proud, it will always give a reaction. Always. Right? You can't have this kind of attitude in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that if you're in New York, you don't put up some attitude, but that's just for to keep yourself safe. It's not that it's your attitude. It's just the atmosphere that you're functioning in. Right? You have to be able to tell the difference. So, the devotee doesn't have any problem that someone has more, someone has less, and this and that. All these modern concepts to make everybody the same is artificial. It will never work, because there never is such a thing as the same. Even you get rid of the oppressors, then in the seat of the oppressors will be the people who were oppressed. Now they'll be the oppressors, and everybody else will be oppressed. It didn't work out for the animals. We got rid of the farmer, then we had the pigs. That's the way it goes. Right? So the difficulty comes up is we have to see that it's an individual thing. It's not, oh, he has facility. Oh, he doesn't have facility. Oh, he has knowledge. Oh, he doesn't have knowledge. It's about how it's being engaged in the Lord's service. Like Prabhupada said before, the Brahmins, they have facility, but only for engaging in the Lord's service. So they may have more. They don't use it for profit. That's the point. Brahmin may have so much facility, he doesn't use it for profit. That's all. He may have a lot of facility, but it's not for profit. While others, even they have a little facility, they'll use it all for profit. Which is fine for an occupation, but not in relationship to the Lord. Right? So therefore, the Brahminical standard is how much you require to engage in the service of the Lord, that you keep. For one person, it will be a lot. They have big facility, big ability. They use a lot. Someone else, they'll have very minimal. Right? That's the actual standard. Just having more, having less, this is not actually the standard. It's only a material vision. Right? That's the whole thing. Because as we see as Garadhar Pandit, then Pundarik Vidyaniti. Then he's thinking, oh, he has so much, he must be a materialist. But then when he saw his transcendental ecstasy, and that his court was there just to be engaged in the Lord's service, then he saw this is an advanced person. So this is, we have to go beyond the dualities. When we say dualities, that doesn't mean we go by making it all the same. Because then that doesn't have any meaning. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva means it's different and the same, not it's just only different or only the same. Material means, oh, everybody has to be the same, that's in the impersonal, or no, everybody, you know, has to have facility, and then that's karma. So karma and jnana. Sounding nice, sounding very, you know, moralistic and everything like that, but there's no standard for Krishna consciousness. One has to see it's about Krishna consciousness. So every individual has to use their intelligence, that's what's called buddhi yoga, to decide how much do I require. Right? And that's how much you require right now. Later it may be different. Now we see due to attachments, this, that, I require this much. But we know that having so much is not important. So in the future, as things go, and we find we become less and less attached, then we may keep less stuff. Right? Or as one's service increases, that one requires more facility, then you have more and more stuff. No, that's the way it goes. Right? You know, you have 5 brahmacharis, you have 1 bus, right? You have 100 brahmacharis, then you have 20 buses. Can't say, oh, this is getting materialistic, so many buses. Like that. Why such big buses? Why can't they all fit into little buses? It's not about that. It's about its service to Krishna. So as long as we make these external opinions on things, we'll always be plagued by material harassment, material desire, material results. We have to be able to see is how does it please Krishna? And if it pleases Krishna, what does it matter what it is? If it doesn't please Krishna, what does it matter what it is? It can be the nicest thing. If it's not pleasing Krishna, what's the point? So we always have to see that this is there. So the Brahmins acting in this way, then naturally the Kshatriyas, who have a tendency to collect a lot of stuff, because if you're going to run, in this case, the whole planet, then you're going to need a lot of facility. But to keep that balance, they associate with Brahmins who don't have that mentality. And then like that, they can create a very auspicious environment for the citizens. So that's then the process. So this development we see is that it's based on good qualities, of course. But it's not the good qualities separate from Krishna. It's only good qualities connected to Krishna. Good qualities on their own are no different than a brick or some money or a shoe. They're just more subtle. Right? If we come from a gross environment, then qualities are considered, you know, spiritual. Means literally. Right? The guy was very nice. He came along. He got out of his car. He helped the old lady across the street. You know, we'd be thinking that this is almost spiritual. You understand? But when you're dealing with the Vedic culture, this deeing actually was spiritual, then the metaphysical and the emotional, these are lower levels. Important, but they're lower levels. They're all mundane. So the physical, the mental, the intellectual, the metaphysical, all these are all material. And so then being educated in these things, they know how the different things engage, how they connect to each other, how to use them for Krishna. So we can't make the mistake that, oh, someone's nice, that's devotional. No, it has to be they're engaged in Krishna's service. That's what is good. Now, of course, by being engaged in devotional service, all the good qualities will come. But the point is, it's engagement in service that makes it happen. Otherwise, it's just the modes of nature. It's just karma. The guy's nice because of karma. And when that karma runs out, he won't be nice. And when someone else's karma increases, they will be nice. So it's just the modes of nature. So now, of course, we can appreciate Krishna's modes of nature, how they're working, and how he has these rules you follow, then someone's nice, someone's not nice, someone has facilities, not. That's all Krishna's arrangement through the modes of nature. And we can appreciate that. Right? And we will deal with the particular living entity that we're interacting with according to their position in the modes. Why? Because they identify that way. So the man identifies as a rich man, we'll deal with him by the etiquette of a rich man. Because the etiquette is for the soul, or the etiquette's for the external. Right? A man with money is respected. A man with position is respected. Right? So what are you respecting? The soul? No, the external. The external is the universal form, that is Krishna. So you're respecting Krishna. But the soul identifies with it, so you'll direct that attention to the soul. And then they'll be happy. So that makes things culturally work. But now if you don't connect that to Krishna, you actually are not addressing the soul at all. You're only dealing with the external nature. So for these great devotees, they're able to follow all the etiquettes because all those etiquettes are defined by Krishna. Right? And at the same time as they can see the relationship between the soul and Krishna and function on that platform. If you have the higher, the lower ones are easy. You have the spiritual, metaphysical is easy. You have metaphysical, the emotional is easy. You have the emotional, the physical is easy. So that means if you have the spiritual, the other three are easy. But to think that the emotional platform, the platform of good qualities, is the pinnacle of culture, then we're only halfway through. We have the metaphysical and the spiritual to go, and they're much, much greater. So it seems like half, but it's actually a very small amount. Right? The spiritual is unlimited. Right? Then we see is in the primary creation, that takes up the whole Mahatattva. That's the metaphysical. Then you get down into the universe and all that, and then how much emotional is there? Not a whole lot. So in proportion, it's not very great. Important, right? Just as physically you perform activities, there has to be the right attitude, right? Krishna Prabhupada starts off the introduction to Bhagavad Gita with that. You have to have the proper spirit if you want to appreciate the Gita. But that has to develop into a proper understanding, the proper relationship with the Lord. Then it comes to the spiritual platform. So you're engaging body, mind, and words. So when we say mind, that means all the emotions. But they don't become spiritual till they're connected. Just like the intellect doesn't become connected until it's connected to Krishna. The body also. So it means all these three go together. They're a natural package. But they're not complete until they attain the spiritual platform. So we see Ramachandra here. He was very happy giving all these things to the Brahmins. The Brahmins act in that way. And they weren't acting in that way to that he would give them everything like that. I've seen people try that also, and it didn't work out very good. So They're acting like that because they have that realization of Krishna consciousness. So we have to appreciate, yes, all these other things, knowledge, skills, position, money, authority, they're all useful tools if they apply to your nature engaging in Krishna service. But if they don't apply to your nature, then they're just extra baggage. That's all. Doesn't matter what everybody thinks, it's a matter of what's the reality. What does Krishna think? What does Shastra say? That's the whole thing. So depending on your position, you have facility. And you use it for Krishna. Then everything becomes perfect. And going beyond that, that greed, it will just create illusion. Because why greed? If I have more, I'll be happier. Is that true? Is it real? No. If it was, you know, then we'd see so many people would be very, very happy. But they're not. Okay, so it says, Prabhupada says, this mentality is conspicuous by its absence in the heart of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Right? So Vaishnavas being the realized Brahmins, then it's natural for the devotees. Any questions or comments on this? Yes. Okay, thank you. Which is more essential, the balance between wanting more facilities to serve Krishna and our being distracted by greed to get more facilities? Okay. Basically, you have to see, since we know that pleasing Krishna is the appropriate thing, and being greedy is not very useful in devotional service, then we have to accept those things that we see doesn't make us greedy. Does that make sense? Right? Because the answer is happening over the little microphone. Does that work? So in other words, at what speed you can do something. It's like anything. It's like anything. How much rice do you eat? How much you require? Right? Eat more, there's always a problem. Eat less is a problem. So it's how much you can use at the time, that's what you do. Like that. If you keep good association with others who are in a more advanced position and they're using things nicer, then by that you can get inspired, that way you can increase. And by, you know, always be absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, following the order of Guru, then we find the heart becomes purified, and just naturally with time, more and more things can be engaged, if necessary. Does that work?
So in this case, does it mean sometimes in order to satisfy the Guru or Krishna's desires, we have to make some over-endeavor to create the facilities.
No, but why are we calling, defining it as over-endeavor?
He's saying it's over-endeavoring because he read another pastime happened in Vrindavan. He forgot the name of the Goswami. He offered some dry chapatis to Krishna, and that's all. He's not doing anything else, not trying to satisfy all Krishna's desires.
Means within the scope of that Goswami, he doesn't have any facilities, right? But it would appear that from what you had discussed the first pastime with Jamuna Devi, she had the facilities. It's just not a normal thing that you cook rice on the train. Unless you're in India, then anything happens. Like that. You take a bath, you know, everything goes, you know, it's all happening. So the point is if you have the facilities, you use it. And the Goswami didn't have the facilities, therefore that's what he had. He offered what he had. So she must have had a stove and other things with her. But it was, you know, probably in a trunk like that. And so then they just got it out and started cooking there. You know what I'm saying? So she being a cook, cooking is not actually out of the context. Right? But here the Goswami, not being someone who's arranging cooking, it's out of his context. Right? I mean, she is a cook. She has all the pots, pans, rice, spices, everything that's necessary to cook those things. Well, the Goswami, he didn't. He just had a little bit of flour. He made some dough balls and then cooked them in the fire. You understand? So he was offering what he had, and she's offering what she has. The point is to make the endeavor to please Krishna. You know, so if Krishna sent somebody with some ghee and gave it to the Goswami, it's not that he wouldn't put it on the chapatis. It's just he doesn't have. Is that, yeah. Okay. Something else? Yes. Mike? Where's the mic? No, this side.
Oftentimes I pray to engage me in pure devotional service, but now I'm wondering if I'm asking for devotion or intelligence to utilize everything in service of Krishna. So what should be my mood while praying such prayers when I'm contaminated with so many desires?
Means praying for pure devotion means that we're always engaged in Krishna's service. It means it's just about devotion to Krishna. There's not a desire to fulfill for ourselves. Right? We just see everything connected to Krishna. Whatever we're doing with body, mind, and words, it's for Krishna. And so therefore we're engaged in that. So it's not that having facility means that it's not pure devotion. Right? This comes from the impersonal concept. That having facility is material, therefore spiritual means no facility. That's what we were discussing before. That's why I mentioned about we have to be able to see different people have different things. Does that make sense? Like I said, no, one manager, one of the biggest managers, you know, in Prabhupada's time. And he didn't have an office. He didn't even have any papers. Nothing. There was zero, he dealt with zero bureaucracy. He just had the place where he sat, you know, he had where he'd sleep. He'd have a little desk in front of that. From that, he'd run everything. There was no facility. And he was really good. But another manager, he had offices and whole structure and other people like that, and he ran a very good management. So one has so much facility and one has zero facility. And they're both doing their service, but it depends on the nature of the person. You know what I'm saying? Sudama Brahman is a pure devotee when he had nothing, and is a pure devotee when he had, you know, more opulence than Indra. It's not that it changed. Just now he'll engage that in Krishna's service. You don't hear of him making money off of that, right? He has this great facility like that, and so now he opens the, you know, what do you call it? You know, some kind of big hotel. You know, does that make sense? Because he has all those servants and all that, how much can he use them so he can open a hotel and all these people can come, and then he, and that way he charges, makes so much money and stuff. We don't hear he's doing that. Right? Does that make sense? So he's just engaging what's there in the Lord's service. As we have to understand is that the engagement of the senses is authorized by the scripture, but it's in accordance with how the scripture says the senses should be engaged. Right? We have this idea is, oh, if we can engage the senses, then it's sense gratification. Or if we can't engage the senses, then there's nothing. You understand? So one's karma and one's gyan. So the point is no, engaging according to scripture is always purifying. But doing that to please Krishna, that's pure devotion. We have to redefine how we see things. These political, economic views don't actually give us pure devotion. They can never can. Karma and gyan cannot produce bhakti. Right? Bhakti makes them work. So why would, if we say, no, but if we have all these facilities, it'd be good for Krishna consciousness, or we have these attitudes or these perspectives, it'll be good for Krishna. How can it be? Krishna consciousness is what makes karma and jnana work. Karma can't work without bhakti. Jnana can't work without bhakti. There's no example where someone without devotion to their work or their knowledge actually got any benefit. But the point is as soon as they get the benefit, they drop the bhakti. So it's not about bhakti. Right? It's about the karma or jnana. But without the bhakti, it won't function. You know, it's like your car. Without the key, it won't turn on. Right? But it's not about, you know what I'm saying? But for you, it's not about the key. It's about the car. So in the same way, even though karma and jnana won't function without bhakti, for the materialist, it's not about bhakti. They'll use bhakti. They'll go to the temple, they'll worship the Lord and everything like that. But as soon as they get what they want, you don't hear of more prayers. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that when we make this distinction that the perspective of pure devotion is its own perspective, it's not dependent upon mundane perspectives. Mundane standards. It's not. It's independent. And when we have that faith, then we'll see it works. It works. Prabhupada went everywhere and just used that vision of pure devotion, and he engaged the whole world. You understand? So, it works. Is that okay? Okay. Something else? Yes. Mike's going.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. You're saying that it's not the activity or the facilities, but it's the devotion.
Yes.
Behind the work.
Yes.
The facilities and the activities are there to... We can express our devotion.
Yes.
Through the medium of these paraphernalia.
Yes, yes.
But isn't devotion of service and the facility all all devotional activities. It sounds like there's two things. I'm using something as a medium to express bhakti, but it's not the thing. It's bhakti that's the main thing, but isn't the thing and bhakti all absolute?
When you're using the thing for Krishna, to please Krishna, then you don't make a distinction. Like in the Lord with his associates, they don't make distinctions between the secondary activities they perform and the primary of pleasing Krishna. You don't make a distinction between Mother Jashoda's cooking and her devotion to Krishna. Because when it's connected, it's all absolute, because it's all Krishna's energy. We're pointing it out because we will tend to separate it from Krishna, and then within the secondary start to make distinctions between what's good and what's not. So Krishna, the 11th canto, points out that too much of this material thing's good, this material thing's bad, is still going to be a problem, because the weakness is it's only good if it's connected to Krishna. And so then, let's say the Shastras recommend something, it's because the mode of goodness is what's engaged in Krishna's service. So activities in the mode of goodness are recommended. So if we simply take it that, okay, this is in goodness, it's good, and this is in passion, ignorance, it's bad, and that's all the farther we see, it's still going to produce a material consciousness. So we have to take it to the point is it's good because it's useful in Krishna's service. That's the main thing. So once it gets to engagement in Krishna's service, you don't have to make a distinction. Like in 10th canto, the passage, we don't make a distinction between the primary and secondary. But we see when we're dealing with someone who's a sadhaka or someone who's impure, then we'll make a distinction. Like that. So the emphasis is there simply because of the contemporary, influences that come up that sometimes it's thought that, oh, but if we have knowledge or we have wealth or facility or, social prestige, then that will enhance the movement. When it's only if it's engaged in Krishna's service will it enhance. It means having it and engaging it will enhance. But if you don't have and you're engaged in Krishna's service, people will still respect that. So it's not that they respect the devotees because of the material facility. Because whatever material facility you have, someone has more. And if they have more than you, they'll consider themselves superior. But if you're engaged in devotion, they don't have that. That's where they'll see the superiority. That's where they'll see the importance, the value. So the analytical, the aspect of jnana is limited in as much as it points out the difference between karma and jnana, and between karma and jnana as materialism and spiritual. But once you get to actually the spiritual, at that point it's not necessary anymore. So it's always important to note that, but much of the time since it's sometimes difficult to digest that whatever material desires I have aren't necessarily the best position for devotional service, then it's useful. But as soon as one's engaged always in Krishna's service, you don't have to bring it up. Then it's a matter of you're trying to do the activity itself, the secondary thing, as nice as possible because it gets as nice a result as possible for Krishna. And in doing that, the whole thing is it's just various ways to express the devotion. Right? You did the work for Krishna, that's devotional. But if we didn't do it very nicely, that aspect's not devotional. So now we increase the devotion by increasing the quality of the work. Right? And now, let's say the result's not so good, so we can increase that devotion by getting a better result also. So you just keep adding. So when you're dealing with pure devotion, then you don't have to make the distinction so much. Then the distinctions more in qualities than that are what is useful, it means what is proper in relationships. You know, it's like Rupa Goswami having described all the aspects of rasa, then he describes rasa bas, what means what's not useful in rasa. So even on the platform of that primary, you do have what's correct and not. But that becomes the focus. That becomes where the knowledge is. That becomes the endeavor and the results. So the point is the focus is the primary. and the secondary naturally comes along with it. You know, it's just like someone gives you lunch, a plate comes along with it. You know, you don't have to separately talk about the plate and then the importance of the plate and why you should have a plate and like that. It just comes along with it. But as long as we're, how you say, in this case, plate conscious and not, you know, meal conscious, then we talk about the qualities of the plates and all that and how to use them and that in connection with Krishna until we come to the point that Krishna is the most important. Then it's just natural you use the best facility you have for Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why in Gita you have giving the fundamentals of karma. Karma means you could say Buddha yoga through karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Then about how that's engaged in Krishna's service, and then all the technicalities of jnana to remove one's detachment to the material and to also see the difference between what's pure and what's not, what's being controlled by the modes and what's actual devotion. Then having given all those tools, then Krishna points out at the end of the Gita, basically his last instruction is that you should give up that approach to start just from Krishna. And then, because if it's Krishna is the most important, then all these other things come very naturally, what's important and what's not, because we just follow what the acharyas give us. But if not, if we're attached to the material energy, we identify with it, then what's the best way to engage our attachments in Krishna's service so that they actually come out as service? That's the whole process of karma yoga and jnana yoga. But once you come actually to bhakti, it means pure bhakti. Because karma and jnana being engaged for the pursuit of bhakti is also called bhakti, but we call it sadhana. Right? But once one gets to that platform of pure bhakti, then it's automatic, it will be expressed through your position. So in the spiritual world, you use your spiritual body and spiritual position and relationships. In the material world, you use whatever conditioning you have. So in either way, the principle is the same, that you'll always engage in Krishna's service according to your position. But we always have to bring out the point that pleasing Krishna is the actual purpose of it. Otherwise, then what happens is we have a tendency to take our position as the most important. And then my service is more important than yours. I'm doing bigger volume, so my service is more important. But Lord Ramachandra addressed that with the monkeys and the spider. Is that it's not that. It's a matter of engage. You can lift mountains. If you're not lifting mountains for Krishna, then you're not actually fully engaged. Well, the spider, all he can do is kick dust. He's fully engaged. So does that make sense? So, in other words, what you've pointed out is there is a weakness in using the jnana yoga in Krishna consciousness, that it's not that the technicalities are correct, that's what makes bhakti. No, it's just it's bhakti makes bhakti. But the technicalities make us aware, otherwise we have a tendency to think that our karma is perfect. And that on its own, if I'm good at my karma, then I'm situated nicely, you know, in pure devotion. But it's doing that nicely to please Krishna, that's what makes it pure devotion. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's may have been too much 11th canto there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nityananda Prabhu tells Shiva Goswami when they're on the parikrama at Vidyanaga, Shiva asks, how come they got, because all the seats of learning are there in Vidyanaga, so Shiva Goswami asks, how come they have seats in Naya, logic, and karma? We hear all the time it's useless, chariots are saying it's useless, it doesn't do anything. How come they have their place here in Sri Dhammayapur? It's a pure place, so. And Nityananda Prabhu said, there's nothing inauspicious in the Dham. Only when they're misused, they become inauspicious. He said, karma and jnana, they're simply there to reveal the high position of bhakti. Then they become very auspicious.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you. Jai Ho. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bhagavad Gita.